and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Matters. I am Colette Williams. It is Tuesday morning, September 27th in the year of 2016. Good morning and thank you for joining us. We've got a lively show this morning. Great deal to talk about. I've got my host with me this morning, our show contributor, and we also have a guest contributor this morning. I'd like to introduce Renee Cole from Dallas, Texas. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. We also have a guest contributor. We have some excitement this morning, and her name is Richelle James, and that is spelled R-I-C-H-E-L-L-E. Believe it, people.
Good morning. Good morning, my queens and my kings. Let me just thank everyone that's on this line today for being a part of this show that Change Matters, and the fact that we couldn't get this going. Devil is a liar. That he knows that we got some powerful stuff to talk about. That's why he's trying to interject in here. But the devil is a liar. He cannot stop us from talking the truth, that God go before us, that he will always be with us, no matter if we're on the radio, if we're talking in person, because this is something that needs to be talked about. So I thank you and appreciate you all for having me as a guest contributor this morning.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and thank you for joining us. We always have a lively show, and we always want folks to join us, and we always want them involved in the solutions that we are talking about. And it's going to take a village. It's going to take the entire nation of African Americans to bring together a change. And as we continue to hear throughout the day, change begins with us. Change begins with each individual. It's not something that we have to wait for. It's not something that we have to wait for a so-called leader to develop for us or tell us the direction to go. We have to do something. We have to do something, and we have to take a stand, and we must take a step. Do something. That's what I always like to say. If you don't know what to do, just do something. Do not sitting on your hands. Do not think for one second that that's the way to go, because nobody said it. Nobody told you what to do. Do something. Just do something, and that's what we mean by Change Matters. Thank you for joining us. We're going to get our conversation started this morning. We have got to talk about the recent shootings. This is change. Come on, y'all. We have got to stop this. This has got to stop.
Colette?
Charlotte, North Carolina. Yes.
Colette, let's just make sure that the listeners, again, I apologize for the technical issues on my end. They got Change Matters Solution a little bit late today, but we will go overtime. Make sure they get in there full time. But if you, the listener, have something to contribute, you want to ask the ladies a question, or you have a comment about something they're speaking on, give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. And hit *6 and 1. I will see you in the caller's queue, and I'll bring you in. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you. And please join us. Please join us. We'd love to have you. We want to hear what's on your mind. We want to hear what's going on in your communities. We want to hear what you've got to tell us, what you've got to say. So give us a call. We'd love to have you join us. As I said, we are talking about the shootings in Tulsa, the shooting in Carolina, in Charlotte, North Carolina. One of the things that has been so disturbing is that I'm in California, and Los Angeles, as many of you are aware, Los Angeles is the high-speed chase capital of the country. There is a claim that there are at least half a dozen high-speed chases in L.A. County every single day. That's not far off. That isn't off. Yesterday morning, there was a high-speed chase. And by the time this guy stopped, it was out in DeVore, which is East San Bernardino County, way east. He stopped on a freeway overpass. And when he stopped, he got out of his car, parked it on the south shoulder, got out of his car, stolen car, someone else's car, and walked along the freeway. He walked along the freeway. He got over to the overpass where you could see traffic underneath, and he taunted the CHP and others for, I think, 45 minutes. He got out of his car, people. He was able to walk over to another part of the freeway.
Across the median, into the oncoming traffic.
Across the median, into the traffic. But wait a minute. As if he were going to jump. Yeah, as if he were going to jump. They never shot him. They never rushed him. There was a standoff for at least 45 minutes to an hour.
And they
did not shoot him. They did what he could do, whatever they want to do. And
he had a crowbar, or
he had a metal
something in his hand.
He had a metal piece in his hand that he continued to start wielding at the officers. They never thought their life was in jeopardy. They never thought that he was a big black dude. They never said that
was a white man.
Because he was white. And when
he could have thrown that thing into an oncoming car.
He could have done anything. Like he could have done anything. But
he left the chase was over an hour and a half, and they allowed
it. It was longer than that. Right. It was longer than that.
It was different cities after cities after cities.
Yes. And it was, they rushed him finally, and they got close enough to him. They got close enough to see him be close. They were probably, I don't know, they may have been 5 feet away from him, if that. And he sat on the bar, on the overpass, the railing. He sat there. And one of the officers from behind was able to rush him and drag him and pull him down. And then, of course, they all jump on him and handcuff him. This man yelled into the microphone. The camera was on his face. He was on the ground. He continued to yell about his family. He said he'd been in prison, couldn't find a job, lived on Skid Row. All he wanted to do was prove to his family that he was a good man. But people, hold on to your horses. He's a white boy. But they took him alive.
They
shot him with a small beanbag. They didn't tase him. They didn't put bullets in him.
They didn't beat him. They didn't kick him. They didn't elbow him. They didn't do anything.
They didn't hog tie him. They didn't do anything. In fact, they cleaned him up. They put him on a stretcher, and they put him into that van.
I have a question.
They called 911 for him.
I have a question, ladies.
Go ahead, Scotty. I'm sorry.
Have you all seen the video out of Charlotte that shows the white male driving the car, brandishing a gun at protesters? Now, he drove to the protest to drive through the protest. Okay, that was on purpose, but he brandishes a gun when protesters wasn't getting out the way fast enough. The police, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg police, saw him brandish this gun. They went up to his car, and they did not arrest him, but helped him get off the main strip there and escorted him away. No, they didn't arrest him. He drove away. They helped him back up and get on the Tryon Street so that he could drive away. And that, it just really illustrates what you're talking about this morning, the double standards. I'm not saying they should have shot him, but when you look at what they did to Mr. Scott,
black men,
right?
They shoot and kill black men without even thinking. They can close their eyes, point their gun, pull the trigger, bam, he's gone. Another one bit the dust. And
just like the man said,
flying the helicopter over Mr. Crutcher in Tulsa. Oh, this looks like a big black dude. Oh, he looks like a big black dude. Big bad black dude. Really? This white boy here in California was able to take them on a high-speed chase for hours. For hours. For hours. And then he was able to jeopardize the entire community by getting out of his car, walking along the freeway, throwing what was a weapon that the other two men in Charlotte and Tulsa did not have.
No weapons.
The man, his wife said he had a book. The other one, his car stopped on the road. They were both walking away from the officers. They were walking away. People, what do we have here? This is is unconscionable.
If the black man had done what the white man,
he wouldn't have even gotten that far. He would not have even gotten that far.
None of these instances, what you're talking about, they never would have allowed a black man to lead them on a chase like that. They would have thrown those things out that make the tires go flat, and then they would have killed him because they wouldn't have walked into the car.
They would have loaded the car with bullets.
That's what they do.
They would have loaded the car with bullets.
That's what they do to black people. That white guy there in Charlotte who brandished his gun, he actually got out of his car. And this is the thing. White people feel so safe in the things that they do. He was able to get out of his car there amidst hundreds of protesters. Nobody black jumped on him. Nobody white jumped on him. Nobody touched him because they were black and white protesters. Nobody bothered that guy, okay? And he felt perfectly safe to get out of his car amongst all those people brandishing his gun. And he was
this
safe.
His name was Edward Joseph Nader, white guy, felt very confident that he wasn't going to get shot. He could lead them on a chase. In fact, on the 10, he was throwing things out the window. He was turning his face towards the helicopter with the camera so that you could see his face clearly. It was a circus. It was a circus. He could do that and never get shot. He is sitting in County Hospital right now having breakfast. Okay,
well,
he's sitting in the hospital having breakfast.
Yesterday.
He's alive and able to talk to his people. He's going to be charged not with brandishing a weapon. He's not going to be charged. He'll go back to prison, He'll go back to prison. He's alive. They didn't shoot and kill him. They shot him with small bean bags.
Yesterday, it was broadcast live breaking news on Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 7, Channel 9 and Channel 11. Breaking news. Are you kidding?
Breaking news.
And it stopped on the 215 freeway.
I was
floored.
And it wasn't
a new car. It was a used old car.
It was an old car that he stole. It was an old beat up Camry.
Hello?
Regardless, he stole the car. Really? You got a man in Charlotte who's sitting in his own car, sitting in it, rolling a joint, maybe. So he's got to lose his life. He's got to lose his life. How do you justify that? How do you justify that, people?
Listen, when you talk about rolling a joint, I appreciate Maxine Waters. She spoke, and then this other woman spoke, and the other woman said, I don't smoke weed I don't roll joints. She says, but I know one thing. She says, that kind of activity goes on in your lap. If you're in a car, if you're rolling a joint, it's down in your lap.
It's
how
down
could those cops
lap.
See
right.
that? They could
yes.
be how early
they,
and
how they got x-ray vision. Yes. And just because
exactly.
he maybe he was rolling a joint, you mean to tell me he's got to lose his life over rolling a joint? Really, people? I got kids at school who roll
but
joints,
you know,
every day.
Cannabis, ladies, cannabis in North Carolina, if it's under an ounce, it is not even a felony. It's just a ticketable
right.
offense.
It's a ticket, yes. So it doesn't
so
matter.
So he loses
even
his
if
life.
His family said he was reading a book, okay?
Right. And I believe his family.
That he had a gun. Now, they haven't produced a gun, and they lied that the black chief of police, who is another coon, in my opinion, cooning Negro, he kept saying that he was not going to release the video. And I understand, because a lot of people felt like, well, if it didn't implicate the cops, if it would have made the cops look like they were right, he would have released it. And he kept saying he wasn't going to release it. The pressure was on, and he released it. And it clearly showed that that they had no business shooting him, because his hands were down. The man's hands were actually down.
They were down. Yes,
so
they were
there
down.
Was there was no reason. And this is the bad part. The wife, she released her video too, and when
she released her video,
you could hear her screaming. That's what Maxine Waters was
right.
talking about.
You could hear her saying, "Don't do it."
Yeah,
you didn't shoot him. You didn't shoot him. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Yeah, but before
that
then,
is that
she told them
to
that
her.
He's unarmed. He doesn't have
right, he
a
doesn't
gun.
Have a gun.
She said, "Do
shot
not
him.
Shoot him. He's unarmed. He doesn't have a gun." And then she used the acronym for saying that he had a brain injury.
Traumatic
so
brain injury.
So she began to talk to him so she could help him out of the car, because what is happening to black folks too is that those that are having mental institutions, brain mental problems,
yeah,
brain
uh-huh.
injuries,
traumatic brain injury.
Is that, yes, is that when the cops come after them, and then they're shooting, screaming to these people, it's confusing to people. It would be confusing to anybody.
To anybody,
it's definitely
right.
disturbing to people who have had any kind of issue going on.
Yeah,
so
TBI, yeah, TBI, I heard a CNN commentator, I forget his name right now, it's a white man with a bald head and big glasses, look like the kind of glasses where in the world is Elmo wears. Y'all might mm-hmm. have seen him on CNN.
Yeah.
He's a former
yeah,
prosecutor.
That might be Elmo. Uh-huh.
So I'm listening to him talk about, they were talking about TBIs, traumatic brain injuries, which he had one in November or December of 2015. So this man says on national television that that was even more reason for cops to fear something, because he had a TBI,
right.
and TBI
yes.
makes people
that's
dangerous.
Right.
So I was like,
right.
wait a minute, let
that's
me
right.
look this up. So I went to the veterans' website, because a lot of veterans have traumatic brain
right.
injuries
right.
and what have
right.
you. And so I looked
right.
it up, and you have to have a really, 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 really severe
really
traumatic
injury.
Brain
yeah.
injury in order for you to may have violent episodes, and even the research on that is kind of iffy. But you got 2 million, close to 2 million Americans, including 240,000 veterans with TBIs, and he just said it's okay for cops to kill them because they dangerous.
They kill somebody. Right, and you know what? The guy with the TBI, that was Keith Lamont Scott.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Keith Lamont Scott. How in the world, if the woman, if his wife is saying, don't shoot, he's got a TBI, wouldn't something click in the heads of those officers who are there not to shoot? So there's two of them. Now, the sister to Crutcher, she, I believe it, someone it said that she's a doctor, correct? Doctor, I don't remember her
name. I've never heard that.
Okay, well, you know what? Yesterday on the news, Leslie Sykes and Philip Palmer on the morning news, they reported the cities that this driver was going through. They were all wrong. They were, every city that they claimed the driver was going through was all wrong. It was Walnut, but it was actually San Dimas, it was Azusa, and it was West Covina. So you, when you listen to the news, you got to take it with a grain of salt. You got to make sure that you get the facts, because they report anything and anything that's wrong. So again, she mentioned, as she stood there on that microphone during a press conference, she said, "You shoot and kill my brother, but you don't, you find the bomber in New York who bombed and mm-hmm. killed people. Mm-hmm. You take him alive.
Yes,
you don't kill him. He's able to speak. He was able to look into the camera. But you mm-hmm. shoot and kill my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the bomber is alive.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the justification? Where is the justification, people? We have got to take this to, we have got to take this to another level. And I don't mean burning and looting and rioting in the street. That's not what I mean. We have got to take this to another level, because it is now out of hand, and you see the differences. You see the racism. It's clear. It's in your face. What else do they need to do? What else do they need to do?
Keith Lamont Scott was shot 4 times. The man's hands were down. He did nothing. He had nothing.
Hands were down. And he backed away from his
wife. His wife was standing there. His children were present. And they killed him for absolutely nothing. Now,
and the same thing for President Hill?
Hang on. People can say, I say mark my words. People can call me wrong, but I want to see what the outcome is going to be, because in Tulsa with Terrence Crutcher, I said they're going to throw that woman under the bus because she's a woman. Women are expendable in this country. Not as
just
bad
like
as
they
black,
say black folks are.
Mm-hmm. Not as bad as black folks, but women are expendable too. I said so. Since that was
not at the same rate, white women get more than black folks.
Yeah, they do, but they're second-class citizens. Black folks, right. We don't even count at all.
Are we less than second-class citizens?
We're lower than second-class.
No, we are kings and queens. We come from royalty.
We are the chosen ones.
Yes, we are the chosen ones,
and they're mad about it.
They're
racist, bigots are mad about us being the chosen ones. The first man on the planet was a black man.
Where life started,
and they're so mad.
Where life started, that is now on fact. When during this war that Bush started, they actually mentioned it, and it's now on record that that's where mankind started, was over in Africa.
Right, that's absolutely correct.
What's that all about?
They're mad. They take our melanin and they use it.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why they take our organs and they use those. That's exactly right.
Because they know how powerful we are.
Right.
And anytime that we put our money behind something, we are the number one consumer.
Right.
Anytime we put our money behind something, it skyrockets. Look what happened to Nextel. Look what happened to Reebok. We have been used as a commodity, and we're still being used as a commodity. We need to be a commodity in our own community, among our own children, among our own families, among our own generation. It takes a village raise a village.
It does. It sure does. And absolutely, as Dr. Roscoe Brown said, who was one of the Tuskegee Airmen, he said it. We should be taking care of ourselves. We do not need a hand out from anyone.
May I say something about that?
We
got all the resources.
Because I feel we need to be careful. We need to be careful when we use language like handouts and collect. I'm not saying you're using it in the same way that Republicans use it. But anything that we get, we pay taxes just like anybody else in this country.
We probably
pay more when you just look at sales tax, considering how big of a consumers we are. So we're funding all of this stuff. So any money that we demand in terms of investment in the infrastructure, job training, business loans from the federal government, we just asking for our money. It's our money. So we're not asking for handouts.
And reparations.
We will never get our 40 acres and a mule.
We make it ourselves.
Whatever we get, we've already earned it. We've earned it. So when I say hand out, there are areas where the handout is reported and it comes in the form of things that we don't necessarily want. So when we take care of ourselves, we're doing for ourselves, we're creating for ourselves, we're manufacturing for ourselves. We're creating the industry. We're creating the infrastructure. We're creating the communities. We're doing it for ourselves. We're bringing businesses to our communities. We're bringing people to run those businesses, to manufacture. We do it for ourselves. We build the e-commerce. We do it ourselves. Then nobody can come into our communities and tell us what to do. They can't come into our communities, shoot and kill us. How dare Los Angeles County, how dare the CHP drive all the way to DeVore, get out of the car, and watch this man carrying. They said there was a commentator on CNN who talked about Keith Lamont Scott. He said, well, he had a brain injury, so he was a dangerous man. He was a dangerous man. He talked about the man's condition as if he knew the man, and he called the man crazy.
And so where's the outrage?
You had somebody here in California on the ground who was crazy, who had a brain problem, who was out of his mind. You could hear it, you could see it. He was just babbling on and on and on. It was in the camera. This man didn't even see Keith Lamont Scott. He didn't see Keith Lamont speak a word. He never got a chance to speak a word. He didn't get a fighting chance for himself. He wasn't able to defend himself. He got out of his car and he lost his life. Plain and simple.
And for those who say that he should have followed their orders,
if you watched the video,
it happened very quickly. But another thing with TBI, and the reason she mentioned he had a TBI, because another symptom is confusion. And he did act confused.
He was confused. That's exactly right.
And if they were looking to de-escalate that situation with that wife standing there the whole time saying, please don't shoot him, he has a TBI, why wasn't she utilized as the mediator?
Right, exactly. And this is the second time we have seen this. This is the second time we have seen this in as many months. The guy in, where was the other one where the girl, they were in the car and the guy shot him in the car? Where was that one? It was during the summer. It was...
You're talking about Diamond.
The
cop shot him and his girlfriend and daughter were
and
in
she
the
said,
car.
He better not die. He better not die. And she recorded the whole thing.
Yeah, and then this wife did too. This wife said he better not die.
These people have people sitting next to them, and these officers continue to shoot anyway. Which means they have no regard for anybody that's black, that's African American, that's Negro, that's colored, that's any other than white.
As we get ready
they
to come
have
up
no
on
regard for these people.
As we get ready to come up on the break at the half hour mark, I want to give out the phone number again. It is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. Hit *6 and 1 if you would like to comment on air. One thing I want to ask you ladies, as I know you will be talking about last night's debates between Trump and Clinton. I was tweeting during the debates. I watched most of it. But when they were mentioning the assault weapons and Donald Trump talking all this law and order, one of the images that I tweeted out was the St. Louis police officer who was just now charged, just charged in 2016 after in 2011 he used his personally owned AK-47 to gun down Lamar Smith. That's what I was thinking about as I heard them talk about law and order and assault weapons. I'm like, wow, I just saw a law enforcement officer on this video after a chase run up to the car with an AK-47 in uniform and spray this man and murder him in his car.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear about the white woman cop who... she said that a black man killed her.
Yes, in Georgia.
I shot her, not killed her.
That's in Jackson, Georgia. She was just charged for lying.
Yes. She lied and said that a black man shot her in the abdomen and that she survived because she had her her bulletproof vest on. She did not get shot. And she had a manhunt out for this person.
A black man.
Whole weeks for a black man. She had described this man and everything, and it didn't happen at all. They found out she lied.
Wow. Colette, you want to take us to the break?
Really okay. Excuse me,
what did you say?
You want to take us to the break as we take our station?
Yeah, let's go to break because we're going to get into a lively discussion here. Again, this is Change Matters. Join us. Give us a call. I am Colette Williams with my contributors Renee Cole and Rochelle James. Give us a call at 641-715-3660 and code 549032 pound *61 and you will be joined in on the call and we will take your call and allow you in. Again, change matters, solutions, and that's what we're talking about here. Thanks, Scotty.
You're listening to Change Matters Solutions on Black Talk Radio, hosted by Kenny Hendricks and Colette Williams.
And we're back. Thank you for joining us. I am Colette Williams, and my show contributor is Renee Cole, and our guest contributor is Rochelle James, and we're here on Tuesday morning here in sunny, hot, humid Southern California. It's over 100 degrees here today. We've got a lively discussion going on. We're talking about the recent shootings. We are going to get to the debate last night, which was just, come on, you guys, really. We are going to get to the election, but because the shootings are coming back, they were quiet for a hot minute, and now they're coming back, and they're coming back with intensity, and it's really, really gotten to be too much. It was too much before, but now this is just absolutely insane, and I think you all will agree. How are the differences made? Who gets shot and who doesn't? Clearly, if you're white, you're right. There are no shootings for white people. They are not going to get shot.
Well,
but the two innocent black men lost their lives. And here in California, you have a white guy who's driving erratically 100 miles an hour on the freeway, taking the CHP and any other officer in the jurisdiction, taking them on a high-speed chase all the way out to DeVore. That's going towards Arizona. And you mean to tell me, he gets to live talk about it. And clearly, he was deranged. Clearly, he was deranged. And when the six commentators who were on CNN with Frederica Whitfield on Saturday, the white guy said that Keith Lamont Scott was deranged. How would he know? He didn't know Keith Lamont Scott. He didn't know Mr. Scott, but he clearly said the man was deranged because he had a TBI. That means he's deranged. Really? You're sitting somewhere getting ready to talk about others. but you can tell the world that this man was deranged, so he deserved to be shot and killed?
Well, one of the things you said is to quiet it down. I do want to be sure that, this is known, that statistics prove that within every 24 hours, a 24-hour period does not go by where a black man is not shot by someone in authority. So it is every day, 365 days a year. It is every single solitary day. Only because of social media are we now finding out about this. So it never dies down. It never quiets down. There's a 13-year-old boy. They just had his funeral where the cops shot him. There's been at least two boys. One was 10. The other one was, I think both of them were 10 in two different areas of the country where white cops chased these kids down. Case of mistaken identity. One, the little boy, was about 5 feet. And there was a robbery in the area. They chased the little boy down and did all kinds of things to him. He was a little boy, 10. This continuously happens to our children. There's another incident, and this happens so much. There were a group of little boys, maybe 5 or 6, riding their bicycles, and the cops stopped them for no reason. It was in the inner city, and the cops stopped them and started asking them questions, really just harassing them. Where were you going? What are you doing? What is your name? Started asking them all their names. There just happened to be a black man walking by. He took his phone out. He started videotaping it, and he was talking to the cops so bad that I was praying the whole time that the cops didn't turn around and attack him. He kept saying, leave him alone. He was cussing at the cops, telling them, leave the kids alone. He was saying they haven't done anything, and that one of the cops, two cop cars, one of the cops was writing the names down, and he's like, what? Don't talk to those cops anymore. Tell any children, don't talk to them anymore. Don't give them your names. Don't anything. The cops had already gotten two or three names by then. Why do they want the names of these kids, 8, 7, 9, 10, just riding their bikes, minding their own business? Because they have a plan for them, that's why. Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful. Our children, we should not allow our children to just be on their bikes riding up and down the streets and we're not paying attention to them. Because times are not like they used to be
at all.
So we have to pay attention to what's happening with our children. These cops are planting guns on people. They're planting dope on people. There, a white guy on Facebook wrote, and I saw it last week. He said it was when he was younger, the cops stopped him outside of his house, and they were harassing him. He's white. And this happened a number of years ago. His father comes outside, and the cops told the guy, he said, tell your dad to go back in the house, or they're going to find some drugs in your car. When I take you to jail, there's going to be some drugs in your car. So the white guy says, so I know if that happened to me, I know what black people are going through. Because he was saying he's white, and the cop told him, if you don't tell him to go back in the house, and if he doesn't go back in the house, I'm going to plant some drugs on you. That was a white person. So they don't have to do it to white folks anymore because they're doing to black folks so much that they're meeting far exceeding their numbers in terms of their quotas that they have to meet for tickets.
Because they're shooting black folks every day.
Yes, they are. They are.
Because they're shooting black folks every day. The other is, there was a shooting in Altadena, and I believe that was either Thursday night or Wednesday night of last week. And there was a time that people didn't even know Altadena was on the map. And now there are shootings. There are all kinds of things that go on in Altadena. How do you have a shooting in Altadena? There aren't enough streets in Altadena.
That's really not a high crime area either.
It isn't? Are you saying that it isn't? It's going there. It's leaning towards high crime.
Plus, from what you told me, you said it was 11 rounds that went off and two people got injured. God forbid they didn't get killed, but they got injured. But that was Sacramento off a lake. That's not a high crime area.
Well, you know what? Compared to the way it used to be, Altadena was never on the map before. Now it's all over the map for crime. So when you say high crime areas, two people getting shot in Altadena at one time, that was unheard of. Gang violence in Altadena, that was unheard of. I grew up in Altadena. That was unheard of. Now Altadena has everything that L.A. has. And when I came back to California...
And does that include the Crips and the Bloods?
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. And I've gotten a lesson on that from people who live there. Now, I came back to California in 2009. And when I moved up to Altadena, I thought, this is nothing more than North, South, Central. That's all it is. It's North, South, Central. It has changed dramatically. It has changed dramatically. It is one of the most expensive places to live, but the hood is there. White folks live on one side, black folks live on the other. I worked with an organization called How Can We Help, and he made a very clear distinction between those who live on the northwest side and those who live on the east side. East side is Arcadia, Sierra Madre, and Sierra Madre used to be the 10th richest community in the country. It's still there, but I'm telling you, North, South, Central is the west side.
Well,
and it is ravaged with what you've never seen before. When you drive along the streets of Altadena, it's not the same Altadena. And yes, things change, but come on, people. Come on.
Well, when you talk about the conditions that are happening in black communities across the nation, where jobs are scarce, people are having problems, you know, deciding whether they're going to have pay the light bill or buy their medicine.
Or buy food.
Or buy food. There's so many things that are happening in the black community. You have people that have, you know, all kinds of mental problems. When you look at post-traumatic syndrome, which is a contagious disorder, and you look at what black people have been inflicted with for the last 400 years since we were stolen from Africa. Black Africans were stolen from Africa, brought to this country, and forced into slavery. Post-slavery, we've never had what you really call a post-slavery. We've never had a real post-Jim Crow. We've never had those things.
Dr. Barber here in the NAACP and other faith leaders from the community of Charlotte gave a very excellent press conference. It's on YouTube. I have also talked about it on BTR News, but he mentioned something that I think is better than post-traumatic stress. But also, our experience didn't begin as black people, African descendant people did not begin with slavery in this country. As one of the listeners of BTR News called the other day, who lives in Washington, D.C., and went to the African American Museum, and he knew I was asking that question, where are they going to start our history? And he said that they did cover the free black colonists who helped defeat the British, who fought on both sides for freedom, for the enslaved Africans as well. So what I'm saying is Dr. Barber came up with another term, because I would never use post-traumatic stress disorder, because I don't think that I have any people who were enslaved in my family. There's a lot of free black people here in North Carolina. So how do I explain, you know, the stress that I feel every day and any, you know, problems that I have? Well, the same that free black people had. They were still being, racism was still being practiced against them. They had their voting rights taken away in many other states and what have you. But Dr. Barber called it DOTS, like a dot, but DOTS, D-O-T-S. Daily, he says, our people in North Carolina are suffering from daily occurrences of traumatic stress. And I think that more accurately describes what we're dealing with.
Yes. And that's where I was going. I didn't hear that, but that's exactly where I was going. We haven't had a chance to have post-traumatic anything, because it's ongoing. It has never stopped. And along with what you're saying, one of the things that is very important for people to understand, and I've mentioned this on the show before, is that the Emancipation Proclamation did not free slaves. Black people fought for their freedom. Black people fought for our freedom.
And black people are still fighting for their freedom. Black people today are still fighting for their freedom, and we are still not free. And anybody that thinks that we are free, read a book. Start all over again. We're not free. And this weekend, this shows it clearly. These are modern day lynching. These are modern day lynching. That's all they are. In every shape, form, and fashion, somehow a black man is killed. This is a modern day lynching. And everybody wants to dance through it, hide it. On the debate last night, they want to talk about whether or not the two candidates or how they feel about the racial tension. The question comes up about race. And this, I really want to, I can't call the name. I just cannot call the name. This thing talks about law and order. Law and order. He's so out of order, he probably can't even spell it. He's out of order. But he wants to talk about law and order. He's only talking about the black community. And he made the comment, look at Chicago, in the president's hometown of Chicago. Look at all the people that are being killed. Look at the blacks, the African-American community. Thousands and thousands of people are killing. That just, I can't even put it into words. I can't even put it into words. He doesn't know what's going on in the black community. He doesn't know.
He doesn't even know what's going on in America, because I tweeted at him with a picture of I did a Google search on DEA and Sinaloa drug cartels. And this ain't ancient history, people. This is just news that's suppressed. But Time Magazine did a story on it. The largest paper in Mexico did it. And if they want to bring up Chicago, ask them why the DEA, nobody was prosecuted in the DEA that cut a deal with the Sinaloa drug cartel that allowed them to smuggle drugs all the way up to Chicago. That was the point of destination. And if they bring in drugs, they bring in guns. And I've heard YouTube video of a black man saying, "What? It's like somebody just dumping guns out on the street and what have you. Where are all of this coming from? They allowing them drug cartels to bring that dope and guns into Chicago, and it's going to the other inner cities throughout the nation from there. Look it up." And I tweeted a screenshot of those news articles. So when I see these debates, I know they're not really going to talk about what's really going on.
No, they're not. And when you look at the drug cartels, the weapons, all of this stuff, just like in Chicago, I'm sorry, not Chicago, just like what happened in New York, that bombing in New York was a horrible thing that happened all over again. The man was a known terrorist. He was a known terrorist. They investigated him in 2014, and they found that he was not a threat. He was okay to be in this country. The boy had weapons of mass destruction. He will be charged with weapons of mass destruction. And you mean to tell me he's charged? And Mr. Crutcher and Mr. Scott are in boxes? I'm trying to figure out where any of this makes sense. And I'm so sorry, I would never support a riot. But it's time for something to happen. It's time for a change to come. And I am not promoting getting out in the street and taking to the street. I'm not promoting violence. But we have got to handle this in a way that folks hear us. It has got to be with integrity. It's got to be done with dignity. And it's got to be done with intellect. Because this is beyond ridiculous. We've got, at the same time, we've got activities all over the country. And black men are the ones that are losing their lives. Not white folks who are committing heinous crimes, but black men who were sitting in their cars, black men whose car stopped along the road. And it was a black woman that called in and reported that there was a vehicle stopped in the middle of the road. It was a black woman. And I'm positive she didn't mean for this to happen to Mr. Crutcher. She reported that there was a vehicle stopped. I would have done the same thing, but I certainly would not want a man to lose his life because his vehicle stopped and he's walking away from the officers to his car. How can anybody justify anything?
Well, they're using drugs, Colette, just like they're trying to use a little half a blunt to justify the murder of Mr. Scott,
right.
The same thing with Mr. Crutcher. The lady talking about she had just been through PCP training and all of that, and she thought he was on PCP.
Yeah.
So is that the training that if you recognize somebody with PCP, shoot to kill? So that's the training.
Yeah.
That's what y'all telling us.
Yeah, that's the training.
Right. But see, this is the thing, too, as far, and this is what I was talking about earlier. See, because women are expendable also, she's been charged now. That lady's going to jail for murder. Okay, they charge her with manslaughter.
Manslaughter.
Well, that's because, it can't be proved to be murder because that would be premeditated. So they go with manslaughter. So she's been charged. I believe that black man who shot Mr. Smith in Keith Lamont Scott, that black man, that black cop is going to get thrown under the bus too, because
he may not have done it. Please let me put that out there. If you watch that video very, very carefully, it looks like the uniform officer who drives up late to the scene in his marked car, he's in uniform, he goes to the back of the truck where there is an undercover, like he's taking cover, he pulls his gun out immediately, he goes around the front of that white truck that's parked next to Mr. Scott's vehicle, he goes around the bushes, and then that is when that's when bam, 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 you hear it, and then he comes running back out from the way he came. There is some question about whether not in Charlotte, and it's being raised in Charlotte, whether or not the black cop actually shot him and may be trying to cover for a white cop because they thought that might defuse the, any protest or something. Oh, it's black on black crime or something like that. Or black on black. Hey, he's a slave.
Yeah, because that's what they keep saying.
Right. Right. Well, you know what? It's interesting, Scotty. Here, we have seen the news. I look at the news every single day, four times a day. And what we see on the news is that the people in North Carolina are just tearing up the city. They're just rioting, tearing the city, burning, looting. One of the protesters was shot by another protester. He passed away. Our news is reporting that there is just complete mayhem.
Well, what they're doing is just taking images. And it was a person on Twitter who actually captured them. So, of course, every time, why do we allow, and this is what they do. I know why the masses repeat it, because it's part of the programming. And if you don't hear anything different, and that's where social media is important for us to be citizen journalists. And that's why Change Matters Solution is important. So that's important for you to tell me you're on the other side of the USA and to tell me the media coverage you're getting. Now, let me tell you what happened. Okay, that first night when he was killed, his daughter took to Facebook and gave an emotional outburst and was angry and totally justified. So the community all turned out, and they're mourning and they're angry. They want to know what's going on. So the police overreact and call out the riot troops. Okay, those the only ones that's rioting is the ones dressed for it. Okay, so call them out, and because the crowd would not disperse, they're going to shoot rubber bullets at them. Dr. Barber talked about this in the press conference. They're going to shoot rubber bullets at them. And so that's when they start throwing rocks. They're looking like Palestine, where Palestinians throwing rocks at Israeli soldiers. Uh-huh. That's where those images happened on the first day. That was like a small group of about maybe 40 people. That happened on the I-85. The protest where that happened on I-85, that's like several miles, maybe 12 miles from downtown Charlotte, where other protests were going on. And then Parks having protests, and all of this was peaceful. And somebody busted CNN of a shooting video of just a few looters. Looters always gonna take advantage of civil disobedience, manship obedience.
Right, yeah.
They're not part of the protest, and the media tries to make it seem like the people that broke windows and ran up into the NBA store, Charlotte Hornets gear store, and stole this, stole that, which it was white people doing it too. The CMPD posted the photos on their social media, so it was an integrated looters, but we know that they are portrayed as all being black people. So all of that happened on the first night. Okay, then after that, things were just peaceful. And it was, I say one third was about white people, maybe a quarter was about Hispanics, and then the rest was black. So this was truly an integrated, what they call an integrated demonstration of people all ages and what have you. And so, no, that only happened on the first night and a half. And I believe
and it. Really, and also,
well,
what
I'm
happened,
telling you,
Scotty,
here.
Also, what happened, Scotty, is the along with what you're saying, the next day, two white clergy people, older people, I don't mean kids, they were like, you know, late 40s, early 50s or something, they got on the news and told the real story also. And what they talked about is over downtown where the news and CNN, they just showed where the windows were busted out at the Omni. And
right.
They said, you know, one of the protesters went in the Omni and socked one of the employees to the Omni in the face and all of this. What the news did not show and they did not tell you is that the protesters were trying to talk to, engage the policemen. And this part I saw, where they were trying to talk to them. The cops were stoic. They did not speak. They all had riot gear. Some of them had gas masks, the whole bit.
Yep.
What they did was they said they marched the protesters. They backed them up into the Omni parking lot against one of the walls. And when they did that, after they marched them and backed them into a corner, into the walls at the Omni,
and
then
tear
gas into the crowd.
Yeah, it's in that press conference. It's in that press conference. The white minister, she talked about that. She talked about how this is where I got my divinity degree or my first pastoralship. I got married here, had my kids here, and now this is the city that gassed me, you know. And so she told the truth. She told the truth, too. But see, that's why the Black Talk Media Project was created. And this is why I always encourage people to be the media that you want to see. Because they've been running this propaganda game since propaganda was invented. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which goes back to the printing press. They've been publishing, you know, information, disinformation, racist stereotypes. They, you know, just telling all lies about us and what's going on. Just like they told about, let's say, take it to Tulsa, Black Wall Street. Oh, the papers and all of them were saying, oh, this white woman was accosted by this black man, and that was a lie. And the media plays a role in all of this victim blaming, as they say in counter racist circles. It's all victim blaming. So we have to create our own media, and we should not be so quick to believe what we see just because it's CNN, MSNBC, Fox.
Absolutely.
All of them
Absolutely.
Are the same. They're all owned by racist white people and sold out proxy racists.
Right, and I'm looking at my notes here. Even in Seattle, there was another shooting in Seattle at the Macy's store. This guy walks in to Macy's, shoots four women and one man. And the mayor of Burlington calls this guy an SOB. And I believe he was the mayor of a community called Mount Vernon. It was either Mount Vernon or Burlington. But the very same thing goes on in other communities. When it happens in a black community, it becomes more, fewer happen. It becomes more than anybody can take because they're taking out black men at a rate that's unconscionable.
And along with that, they're taking out black family men.
They're not taking out black family.
Yes.
They want to destroy the people. They want to destroy the black family. I don't care how you slice it. If you don't see that, if you don't understand that, wake up, please. Because that is clear, it's evident, and it's obvious. The black family is under attack. And we've been under attack for decades now. And now it has gotten to a critical point. We are under attack, and it's time for everybody to take a position that, one, you got to cover yourself. Two,
I have something I want to add when you get finished.
Sure. You've got to make sure that you know your surroundings and you know what's going on in the community.
Yes,
and
we come to the final comment portion, and while we had people on the board, nobody had a call, so I hope that y'all learned something and was informed about a lot of stuff, and perhaps that's why you didn't have any questions, because those questions were being answered on Change Matters Solutions here today. But ladies, do you want to each take about 1 minute as we go into the final comments with the host, Colette, closing us out?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Rochelle.
Okay, this is something. Thank you, everybody, today for your comments. This is just an ongoing situation. And what I saw on Facebook the other day, it says, we cannot sell CDs, Anton Sterling. We cannot sell cigarettes, Eric Garner. We cannot drive cars, Sandra Bland. We cannot play in parks, Tyree Rice. We cannot wear hoodies, Tayvon Martin. We cannot play music, George Davis. We cannot play with toys in Walmart, John Crawford. We cannot go to the mall, we can't ask for help after an accident, Jonathan Farrell. We can't walk outside, Rekia Boyd. We cannot ride public transportation, Oscar Grant. We cannot attend our own bachelor party, Sean Bell. We cannot go to the store, Mike Brown. We cannot have car trouble, Corey Jones. We cannot sleep, Ariana Jones. We cannot pray, Charleston 9. We can't accidentally park, Dan Roy, DJ Henry. We cannot comply, Philandro Castillo. We cannot put our hands up, Terrence Crutcher. We cannot read a book in a parked car, Keith Lamont. I apologize for any names I spelled wrong. What shall I continue? My question is, what can we do then?
Well, this is what I say. My final comment is this, is that slavery was only ended because black people stood up and fought for our freedom. We took our freedom. They did not give it to us. Do not believe the hype about Abraham Lincoln or any of that. Black people got out and fought for our freedom. When Martin Luther King was alive, when Malcolm X was alive, that we had peaceful protest. Malcolm X was not for peaceful protest. He was for whatever means was necessary. When Martin Luther King was here, he was not respected. Since he's been dead, white folks want to respect him, and they gave him a holiday because he taught people peaceful protest. Peaceful protest is good. Those young people in North Carolina, they have been out every night for 5 nights peacefully protesting, and they did get attention. What black people need to know, and North Carolina has the black elders that are helping young folks in terms of the protest, they have called for an all-out boycott. And every week I say the same thing. We need to organize a nationwide boycott where black folks and people who are on the side of black people and see our plight. We need to stop shop. I don't shop at Walmart, but black folks need to stop shopping at first you need to stop going to Chick-fil-A. That's the first thing. and you need to stop going to the Hobby Lobby, and you need to stop going to Walmart. So there's a number of stores that we need to actually initiate this with, and then we need to step it up. So however Black folks, you know, we feel we need to come together and do this, I'm calling for, you know, for the churches and the leaders in our community to call for very serious workouts. And I really believe that North Carolina, if we watch what they do, they're a very serious city. And I think we'll be able to watch them and catch on to what they're doing.
Thank you both. Thank you both, Renee and Rochelle. I do not have a final comment. I am going to make my comment as we sign off, but we will be back next week, and Kenny Hendricks will be back with us next week. We've got a lively show until after the election. We've got lots of people who are coming in, a senator, a city councilman, another NAACP individual. We've got lots of people coming in for the next several shows that lead up to the election. But one of the things that I wanted to also say, and to your point, Renee, we've talked about this before on this show, and we're past the point of serious. We are far past that point. It is past time for a call to action. And just as you said, we can no longer just take to the streets, because all that happens in that instance is the National Guard is called out, just like they did in Charlotte, and they reported here in California that the National Guard was called out to bring order to the city because there was rioting that went on for 5 days. And Scotty, I'm so glad that you sent me the email saying, LOL, there was no rioting, because the news here,
and the National Guard was only here for 24 hours, and the protesters engaged in, maybe they were being sincere, maybe they were being genuine, or maybe they were engaged in psychological warfare, but I did not see National Guard with any M16s or pointing guns at people. Some of the protesters shook hands, gave hugs to the guard, and the next day the guard was gone. They was gone. So don't let them lie to you like, oh, the city's burning down.
I'm telling you, the news here reports and paints a very different picture. So, again, my point is, thank you, Scotty. Thank you very much for that. But, again, the call to action that we've been talking about for the past, I don't know how many shows, probably all of them, this is imperative that everybody take a position. Everybody has got to be a part of this call to action. A nationwide boycott. We have got to stop spending money, because the only thing that is felt when you hit them in the pocket. We are a $6 trillion spending community. Stop spending. Close down the liquor stores. Stop going to liquor stores. I don't go to liquor stores on a good day. I do not go to liquor stores.
Well, I'm talking about the big stores. I'm talking about that.
Stop buying cars. Stop shopping. Stop going to Walmart. Stop going to Kroger. Stop going to Ralph. Stop going to Bob's, Tom's Thumb. Stop spending. Because when you hit them in the pocket, that's when they feel it, and that's when they stand up and take notice. Otherwise, they're going to continue this fight against the Black community. We have got to take a position where we are in control. We know what to do, and it's not throwing rocks and bottles at this. We have to be the ones with the intellectual fight. Counter that. This is a nationwide call to action. It is a boycott. Stop sending your kids to school. Stop going to McDonald's. Stop going to Burger King. Stop going to Wendy's. Taco Bell. That's toxic anyway. Stop doing those things that create toxicity with your person. Go to a library. Get a book. Start reading. Do what they say you're not going to do. That is read. Take a position that this is a fight, and you're fighting for your life and your family to cut you off. This is a nationwide call to action, a boycott, and I am Colette Williams, and I'm calling everybody. And I want everybody to stand up and take charge of themselves and take charge of their family and your community. It is time for me to sign out. I will see you and talk to you. next Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on the West Coast, 10 a.m. in Dallas, 11 there in Charlotte, North Carolina. Again, I am Colette Williams signing off. Thank you, Renee Cole. Thank you, Rochelle James. My pleasure to have you on. We will see you and talk to you again. Have a good afternoon, everyone. Take care.